Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. And yes, this is the engagement hour. Behind the glass, I've got Matt Neely, as always, keeping us on time and on target. Remember, the purpose of the engagement hour is to encourage you to get involved. We have a lot of rights and responsibilities as citizens in this great country. Probably one of the most predominant ones we all are aware of is the need to vote. And as I encourage you, is be an informed voter. But there's a lot of different forms of service in this country. You've got your first responders, you've got your educators, you've got your members, your men and women who serve in the United States military. But you can also serve through supporting your local communities, your nonprofits, helping a hand, getting involved in your community. And one of the important roles that we sometimes don't give full credit to is the role that's played by the media in our community. And, you know, just listen to 3 hours of Wake Up Tucson. You know, you can get up every morning and you're going to hear what's going on in the region, what's going on nationally, and you're going to get some opportunities to speak to it, but also to hear about what the thoughts are. So today, my guest is part of, I don't want to call it alternative anymore because it's become the way to go. But it originally, I think, was foreseen as an alternative network for newspapers and for writers to be able to put their thoughts, their opinions, and or tell the story of what's going on in the community. So today, I'm very honored to be joined by Blake Morlock, who's with the Tucson Sentinel. Blake, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me.
So Blake is has been a writer for over 25 years. You are former chairperson of the Pima County Democratic.
Communications director.
All right, so I had that wrong. So there it is. If okay. I just read the subtitle underneath your articles, I'd get it right. But he's been a daily journalism for over 25 years, and we're going to kind of hit on that as well. Award-winning columnist. You've been recognized on many fronts. I think one of the best quotes I saw from you was when you took second place in a recent by the Alternative News Network. Chose you second place for columnists throughout the United States. And your comment was, well, obviously it was rigged because I didn't win.
Yep.
But I did appreciate that. So we're going to get into that
columnist fraud.
That's right. So the big thing, Blake, is this show is about trying to get people involved. So I want to just, you know, take this first section of the show to talk about how did you get involved in doing what you do? And I know you grew up in New York.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in Rochester, New York, a little town outside of it called Fairport. I came to the U of A in 1986 to go to college and get my journalism degree. I always knew that I liked current events. I really liked writing. I knew I had a problem when I'd be in third grade writing and it'd be like, you know, you're doing your essay and the teacher would say, okay, it's time to do other things. And I was like, no, I want to keep writing. And became a journalist.
Why did you choose the University of Arizona?
I wanted to go somewhere else. I grew up in upstate New York. It's a great place to grow up. It's a beautiful part of the world, the Finger Lakes region. But it was something kind of calling me out west. And so I came to U of A. I applied here. I applied to here and CU Boulder. And CU Boulder said, see you later. We had different ideas about whether or not I should be attending their illustrious mountainous campus. But I got in the U of A and I liked it. It was like, hey, you know, don't throw me in that briar patch. Came out to Tucson, 86. And then when I graduated, my first job out of college was Globe Arizona, working for a little weekly.
Okay.
Got to do everything, including work the bundler. And then came back to the Tucson Citizen, where I was a business writer for a summer, and then got a job in Flagstaff, speaking of briar patches, and worked there for 3 years and was really able to cut my teeth covering city government. And it was a size of government where you could really get into all the different aspects of what it was to cover government. Came back to Tucson And my beats have been everything from Pima County or Pima County, City of Tucson, plenty of nightcap shifts, higher education, University of Arizona, Pima, faith and values for a while, and then became the political writer in 2000 for the 2006-2008 elections, and got laid off in 2008, right after the election. They realized they didn't need an election reporter, and that was a great recession where it was kind of, it wasn't like you just jumped into another job. So my contacts at that time were in politics, and so I just kind of showed up to pound in yard signs and learn it from the bottom up, and wound up as the communications director for the Pima County Democratic Party for a while. I did some work on some other campaigns, some I'm pretty proud of, some you know, it was a paycheck, and then
we won't get into those.
But kind of got tired of just, you know, calling, you know, writing press releases and sending out and messaging, calling people names for a living gets kind of old, and that's kind of your job as a communications director. And
what years were those that you were with them?
Because 2009 to 2011.
So we like to sometimes say that's what it's all about now. It's just name calling and throwing out bad press and trying to tell stories.
Think,
but it sounds like it started.
Oh, it went on
a long way back.
Well, I mean, it was just, you know, such and such as a radical extremist who doesn't share our mainstream Arizona values, and it's just that was kind of, you know.
I think
but
I've heard,
at the same time, writing other kinds of stuff. Like, I don't care if it's a Democratic idea or a Republican idea, so long as it's a good idea for the people of Arizona that moves us. But it's like you write, it becomes cliched. It's not a bad sentiment, but it becomes cliched. And then I hooked up with Dylan. It was like I'd worked on the inside of politics. I actually think every political writer should go work on a campaign and see what it's really like. And then hooked up with Dylan, covered a bunch of stuff, and was like, so like when I'm giving you my opinion, it's from a guy who sat in a whole bunch of planning and zoning commission meetings, board of regents meetings, covered a lot of these issues. It's not just some, you know, it's like I kind of earned the right to rant a little bit, and that's what I've been doing since 2015.
Yeah, and so for everybody listening, Dylan Smith was part of the team that started the Tucson Sentinel.
Yes. Yes.
And the Tucson Citizen, which you'd worked at before.
He was at the Tucson Citizen.
And it then folded.
Yep. And well, it folded right after I got laid off.
Right.
So, but with enough lead time so that everybody, all my former coworkers were sending out resumes. It was like everybody was looking for that one job. But yeah, it folds in 2009.
Right.
And Dylan, who had work in the who'd done work with like the Google News Initiative, said, "Hey, I think we can launch a local independent online news outlet in Tucson," and he was one of the first in the country to do this. Now they're all over the place, and he's one of the major leaders in the industry in this kind of burgeoning new model of journalism, which is reader supported. Real support journalism. So yeah, and just as an aside, I like the fact that you're saying get involved. As somebody who's covered journalism or has covered local government, it has always been interesting to me how fast somebody who thinks they have no power can learn they have quite a bit if they show up and if they do it right. It's just, it really is important. It makes you feel like a soldier and not a victim. And I'm talking about people from both sides of the, whatever side of the aisle you're in, that's one of the things I've learned in journalism is how much a squeaky wheel, if the wheel squeaks right, can get grease.
Absolutely. And that's a great place for us to go to our first break here.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Tucson Sentinel,
okay,
how it's supported, how it's run, what its coverage, and we're going to talk about specifically the work that you do there. And we might talk a little bit more about that last tease you just gave about how people can get involved. So thank you for listening to us this morning so far. Hope to see you after the break. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell, and my guest today is Blake Morlock with the Tucson Sentinel. So we heard a lot more about your journey prior to the Sentinel. Mm-hmm. But can you kind of describe to us a little bit about the Sentinel? You mentioned it. How's it function? Where can people support it? And why has alternative media become so important to the media world on getting messages and telling stories?
Degree to unpack there. The Tucson Sentinel, like I said, it's a local, independent, online nonprofit. We can go through those four words, like take them apart, and I think it'll get to your questions. It's local, so like I want to talk about the RTA. I don't want to talk about Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, right? I want to talk about what we're going to do about the housing issue. I don't want to talk about a lot of the other stuff. Now, there is a degree to which we're suddenly a swing state, and that, you know, the lines blur. We're independent, which means that we're not corporate. Like, I think there's a misconception. This is something that I think has led to a lot of distrust in the media down the road. This idea that the news is the product and the readers are the consumers in under the corporate media model. It's more that the consumers are the product and the advertisers are the customers. And we're trying to bring the reader to the ads, and the news is kind of the ad. So it's like the news is the stuff that goes around the advertising. That's kind of how it's. Now, I worked for Gannett, which was a really extreme example of this, but it means that people's idea of what a newspaper should be and the owner's idea of what a newspaper should be, I use the term newspaper to also mean like online news source, can be out of phase. And I think, you know, nobody goes from regional vice president to CEO because their properties win a bunch of Pulitzers. It's did you pull 20% more cash out?
Absolutely.
Last month did from that community than you or last year than you did or the year before. And are you going to pull 25% more out now? And so it becomes, so people think that they're going to get one, that when they show up for the news, they're going to get one thing. Instead, they kind of get this other. But being a nonprofit, being independent, means that we make all of our decisions about what we're going to do right here. And to be clear, I never got the letter from all you old X-Files people, the smoking man, saying what I couldn't cover when I was working at Gannett. But it was we weren't given a ton of resources. The newsroom staff kept shrinking. I remember thinking, golly, it'd be nice to talk. I got some questions about the housing market in 2006, but our business staff had gone from 4 to 1.
Right. And I think we see that a lot more with the, I mean, you look even for the Daily Star, you know, it's down to almost nothing manpower wise, everything on printed media and more, especially with the next generations. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm obviously from a generation that lived and thrived on paper. I actually still wake up and read the entire Daily Star and the Republic. But I also
get long as it used to.
No, it doesn't. But I also get the Sentinel. Mm-hmm. And I try to look at your paper daily, and I'll call them paper like you, even though it's online. The Arizona Agenda. There's other ones out there that we can get stuff. What I truly appreciate about the Sentinel, and particularly your articles, and trust me, this is just not trying to, you know, make good with my guest, because Blake's had things to say about me and Southern Arizona Leadership Council before. We won't talk about any of those articles today. But I can feel the local flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel the local desire that's coming out of the Sentinel. And I see those in your articles. And I can see your personal opinion in the articles. So I have to ask one question.
Okay.
Because, you know, you are known for what the devil won't tell you, but not every single one of your articles has that at the top.
Yeah.
So you're a columnist.
I do two different columns. I do What the Devil Won't Tell You, which is kind of me going off on a rant about something that's happened. And then I do another one that's called The Tucson Agenda. I'm glad you brought this up. Which is, I go over like what local government is doing that week based on their agendas. So it's also called The Tucson Agenda, but you know, that's just, we named it first.
I missed that, because now that I'm looking at it.
But it's a rundown of what that is. And my approach with that is, here's how government works. Here's kind of what's going on. And it's both an absolute joy and an absolute pain in the butt, because it's like I can geek out on certain things. Like at the end of the day, I'm just a land use. I'm just a growth reporter. I mean, I can rant and rave about any number of big, you know, high profile issues, but you want to get me going, man, talk about, you know, setbacks and lot sizes and, you know, attractors and generators for and daily traffic counts.
You had a pretty good article the other day on housing and what they're exploring to do. And when
really interesting stuff that's going on, and it's interesting stuff with the RTA too. But yeah, the other thing I just wanted to get back to is just the fact, what the reason it's so local and it might have that local flair is that I know who my boss is. My boss isn't really Dylan, although he might disagree. It's the reader. I'm writing for the reader. I'm not writing to make shareholders, hedge funds, no disrespect, more money. I'm writing to just kind of, and I know that that's the entire reason I'm there, but we are entirely readers. We are not entirely, we get grants, but we're readers supported. So, you know, if you believe in journalism, local journalism, and you want to support it, we're at, you know, TucsonSentinel.com. You can start off. We got different levels that you can just help us out with, just get your foot in the door, see what you think. Because what we do, I believe, has value, even though we give it away for free. So we ask for people to support us, but then that is who we work for. It's a different thing to navigate sometimes.
But I think it's the interesting thing of this format, where you go to TucsonSentinel.com. You can sign up for a newsletter. You can sign up for a day, so you get daily notices. You can get access. But when you say those then become your consumers, I don't see where in the paper you're targeting any one sector alone. You've got reporters that take all different aspects on both sides of the aisle, both issues, and you and the Daily Independent both do, I think, a good job of really spreading different messages.
Yeah. Well, So a little bit about how I write. I got a little worried about access journalism, because you can be dependent on your sources to do your job, and sources can use that as leverage.
Of course they can.
And I'm like, no, I know enough to call BS when it's BS. I don't want to do that. I'm also kind of I'm a little bit of a golden retriever, and I don't like naming the lobster, right? So it's like, the more I get to know someone, the more less I can feel myself pulling the occasional punch. And but there are times now where I've been at this long enough that I do feel like I need to get, get more involved and get more sources. So that's why a lot of times it's just me doing a rant as a columnist, and that's okay. But you also got Paul Ingram and Jim Nintzel, who are trying to figure out what, you know, how to best get to his story. And the thing that the kind of our motto is, a smarter Tucson is a better Tucson. And I've even tried to like say, okay, but you sometimes I'll be like, you need to know there is an opposing point here to what I'm saying, and this is it, because a smarter Tucson is a better Tucson. But that's kind of our, it's a little bit of our guiding star. How do we make, and a lot of what you're talking about, how do we make it easier for people to feel connected to the community so that they might get engaged, so that they might also get involved? know?
Well, there's no doubt the Sentinel's positioning has been local.
Yeah.
Local, local, local. You're right. Sometimes some of the, you'll talk some stuff going up the state legislature, but it almost always winds back to how it impacts this community.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely try to do that. And with something like the border, it's the biggest national issue, but it's local.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And that's the voice of Blake Morlock with the Tucson Sentinel. We've kind of set the table. When we come back after break, we'll start talking some of the issues. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. See you after the break. Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, the engagement hour. That's Matt Neely behind the glass, taking care of us, making sure we stay focused and on time. I'm Ted Maxwell, your host, and my guest today is Blake Morlock with the Tucson Sentinel. Blake, I really appreciate filling us in about the Sentinel. Like I said, I think it plays a valuable role because it's local. And just to the point of your Tucson agenda section, it's always, it's the headline because it's almost always about the first sections about the city of Tucson. It catches my attention. But then you go into Marana, you go into Sarita, you really do.
Tanque Verde Unified School District Governing Board.
If you want to get information that you're not going to find anywhere else that's impacting us locally, I would highly suggest you look, follow the Tucson agenda by Blake Morlock in the Sentinel. Now, we started with that one. And actually, I want to start with one of the issues that you wrote an article. And again, I like your style because you do throw a lot of your own just comments throughout your articles. So, sparking a rant, Snoop Dogg's bowl to get cash from Pima County. Okay.
So, yeah. The one thing about headlines is they're not always the trying to cram everything into one graph. It does kind of make it sound, hearing it like that, it makes it sound like Snoop got money from Pima County, which he did not, of course.
Right. So we talked about it a little bit before the show. For full disclosure, I'm the vice chair of the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, presented by Gin and Juice Dre and Snoop. Now, it's one of the longest names you could ever have, but how often do you get to talk about a bowl game, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, and an alcoholic beverage in one moment?
I'm telling you. I am so glad you brought up Snoop because it was one of those columns that I wrote where it was like, sometimes I'll write a column because it'll be, this reminds me of something I've been mad about since 1992. And corporate naming rights has been bugging me for freaking ever. And I think that, so I took off on a rant that way. And I think it came off a little bit anti-Snoop, and it shouldn't have. But yeah, it's the Philadelphia Spectrum. It's not the Wachovia Center turned Wells Fargo Center turned what the frick ever, follows that. It's Yankee Stadium. It's not, Goliath Capital sponsored by my third trophy wife. No, it's these are our public spaces. These are, Maria, our Dylan's wife, our co-publisher, hates this word, but these are iconic parts of our community, and even like a bowl game, we shouldn't be, I do not believe we should be selling them. And it's like this big chase for the almighty dollar. And I understand college athletics is changing. I'm mad we left the Pac-10 because one of the things people love about college ball is tradition. And these traditions just are so interchangeable. But having said that, if you're going to have a sponsor, a cultural touchstone like Snoop is great. I actually do like the fact that he's involved in this because he's one of those guys who started off as one thing in kind of the national conversation, and he's become another. But it's not because he changed. It's that the culture evolved. It's that all the kids who grew up loving hip-hop music are now on the board of the Arizona Bowl. They moved up. They're now, the Gen Xers who are now moving into positions of elderness in the community. But they took Snoop with them. And so if you're going to do it, absolutely make it Snoop. We got Snoop. Let everybody else do their own, you know, the Cheetos Bowl, you can have it. We got Snoop. That was my view. I personally
love that take because, as you pointed out in the article as well, the money that Pima County is contributing to the bowl goes to the bowl.
Goes to the bowl. It doesn't go to Snoop.
The board, the operations. And Snoop and his team actually pay for the sponsorship. And what I will remind everybody about is the Arizona Bowl gives back their net proceeds to the community through nonprofit organizations and support them. And we did a lot during the COVID times to keep companies alive. You know, we've had some great sponsors in the past, no matter what people think about them. And I think we're seeing this with Snoop. But I will tell you, this has attracted so much attention, I think, this year for the week leading up to it, the tailgate, the game itself. He's bringing in youth football teams to play. There are people going to come out there who really don't care about the football game.
Yeah.
I hate to say that because I'm a huge football fan, but they're going to populate it, and therefore what's going to happen? The Arizona Bowl is going to bring in more proceeds. It will be a better product, and we will then be able to give more proceeds out back to the community.
Yeah, and I think it'll create a certain cachet for Tucson. My bigger issue is the fact that, like, my preference would be that we're still called the Copper Bowl. Because
that's the old
bowls
that's
are
the
named
old
after
school.
Commodities. I am very old school, and I think once we let the Joe Montana won the Cotton Bowl in 1978 with a huge comeback. We didn't need massive corporate sponsorship to have that game or the 87 Fiesta Bowl or anything. You know, anyway.
Yep. Changing times. Speaking of changing times, I want to go back to and Blake doesn't know all the articles that I pulled up. But I'm going to go back to one you wrote in 2015. It was entitled, and this was under the What the Devil Won't Tell You side of it. So not on the Tucson Agenda side, Devil Won't Tell You side. Charter changes. Tucson could use some competitive elections.
Yeah.
So do you still feel that way?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I've kind of come around. I'm now in much more of a ward-only guy. Ward-only elections. I worry that... Look, when I say, like my biggest... I actually do fear for democracy, but I think that a lot of times, those of us who might be more left think democracy means Democrats win. Ending gerrymandering means Democrats win. No, it means that people have a voice, and I'm worried that Republicans and conservatives don't have enough of a voice on the Tucson, and feel like they don't have a stake in the city of Tucson and on the city council. So yeah, I mean, not only do I want ward only, I'm like kind of radical on this. I'd like to see redistricting done in a way that would give Republicans a chance to win control. Now there are ways you're going
to
do it.
So people have to understand, for that you to make that statement, you know, former press communications person for the Pima County Democratic Party, that's a big statement. There's other people that would argue, like they did when we were advocating for the second largest county in the state of Arizona to have a safe Republican and a safe Democratic district, that's gerrymandering. What people forget is anytime you redraw the lines, they're all gerrymandered.
Well,
and it doesn't mean
be.
For political gain. It just means they're redrawn for a purpose.
Well, the funny thing about that, if we're talking about LD-17, I looked at that. I said, who says that's a Republican district? When I looked at demographics, I was like, I don't know about that. And it turned out to be very swingy.
And it's still very swingy this year.
But my view of that was, wait a minute, we're 60% Democrat, 40% Republican, and Democrats are upset that there might be, out of five LDs, two Republican. I'm sorry, isn't that 40%?
They were just looking for one.
Well,
I mean, at that point, it was one. There were in 2001 through 10, we had
worked.
Two and two, and yeah. But back to ward only. I agree with you. I'm glad you still feel that way.
And I like Paul. I like Paul Cunningham, Nikki Lee. You know, these are the two and the four wards are probably the ones that...
They're the closest.
They're the closest. But, you know, the thing we keep forgetting is it's not Paul's seat. It's not Nikki's seat. It's a people's seat.
Correct.
And so, I would like to see that. Also, I think what it does is it's easy to be a bomb thrower when you know that you're in a bomb container, when you know you're nowhere near power. It's easier to be a bomb thrower. But like when you have to think about, okay, how are you actually going to fix the streets? You know, and you have to come up with plans because you now have an opportunity to win. It doesn't mean it takes your values away, but it means you have to, you're using your values to inform some a degree of pragmatism in how you approach things. So, yeah, I am a big believer in that. That was like my second column, I think.
It was back in 2015, so it was pretty early in your thing. Matter of fact, I have to hit the last tab. If you want to search Blake Morlock's articles that he's written his entire time with the Sentinel, they're all there on the website, and when you search his name. And I had to hit last tab to go find it, because yeah, I just wanted to go find it again. So you conveniently did a nice smooth transition in there by throwing out about fixing the roads.
Mm-hmm.
So you've done a lot of writing surrounding the RTA. So what are your overall thoughts about the need for regional transportation?
It's a regional system. It's a regional system, so why aren't we planning for it and working on it regionally? There are different needs in different parts of the community, to be sure, but those needs all kind of need to fit together, because I share some more conservative worries about like central planning, but I think we can plan a transportation system that'll work. A road coming from Miranda to Tucson doesn't go from four lanes to two lanes. You know, it's a regional system that needs a regional plan, and I think we also need regional cooperation on other issues. Personally, I think if you're going to talk about regional transportation, you probably need to have a regional approach to land use planning, so that be aware of what might be built somewhere that'll affect traffic patterns, because land use is what drives traffic. But also water. Water is a crime. Water, that's kind of my view of the world, is like crime, water. Land use, water. the Arizona Bowl, water. I know 10% of what I think I need to know about water, and I probably know more than 99% of the people out there. But it's a huge issue, and it's one. There's no living in Tucson without water. We can lose Raytheon, we can lose the bases, we can lose the U of A. We lose the water.
Blake's not advocating for that, but
absolutely not.
So that, I think you bring up a great point. It's one that's not discussed enough, because the idea we say a lot in among some of the business organizations that the argument for a more regional government approach has kind of come and gone, because all the municipalities, I mean, we've heard it in the RTA discussion. I think every municipality has at one point said we may be better off going alone on our half cent. And I've been very clear in my opinion, you would be good for your local concerns going out on your own. But I think you're missing the big picture of regionalism. You brought up other issues, the approach to housing, the approach to land use, water, wastewater for that matter, if you want to throw it in. How would Blake Morlock go around trying to get these governmental agencies to work together better for regionalism?
I've seen like a city and county at odds, and you and I were talking about this the other day, but it's like, okay, the county feels like it's being screwed by the city, and the city feels like it's being screwed by the county. You get, City of Tucson, that 100% of your voters are county voters too. And you get Pima County that 55% of your vote, it's like, we're messing with ourselves. And you heard this during an RTA meeting early on, when like even a guy like Ed Honey from Marana was like, I use Tucson roads. I don't want to screw up Tucson roads. I don't want to screw up the Tucson transportation system. I use those roads. And Tucson uses Marana roads. And it's like we need the whole system to work for it to work best. There's a reason that we did this. And my answer would be, why don't you want, okay, you might be better. Why did you join up in the first place, and what's your biggest complaint? And the biggest complaint people have is, we hit a recession, didn't raise enough money, and our revenue projections fell short. Okay, that's not a, that doesn't disprove anything. That doesn't contradict the rationale for joining in the first place. You had a recession, the money's not there, and?
And the flip side of that is, since COVID hit, the cost of building roads has gone up significantly
as well.
Cost
of building roads has gone up.
And so we're facing a challenge. We're going to have to go back, hopefully, because I'm a big fan of the RTA, ask the voters to approve the new tax, because everything's a new tax, but it's an extension of how
it's
we fund it.
It's an extension of the tax. Yes. You're extending the tax. It's not a new tax.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Arizona Supreme Court's ruled differently, but we'll talk. We can talk about that another time.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
And we're still going to have to deal with the RTA 1 shortfall. And so they're two separate issues in my mind, but too many people want to combine them. It's kind of like saying we're going to, you know, shoot ourselves in the foot because this didn't turn out exactly right, so we're going to ignore the best solution and go with an alternative.
But it wasn't like it fell short because a lot of people screwed up. It fell short because the global economy tanked.
Yeah.
And it was a once-in-a-lifetime event that happened. So it's like, we can figure that stuff out. But I think where the RTA is right now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that everybody's given up a little bit. It's to the point right now where, okay, everybody's willing to give up a little. And that's usually the second to last thing that happens before a compromise happens. The last thing is everybody gets just a teeny bit of something.
Absolutely. You know?
And it's like, it's not huge, but it's enough for them to feel like, okay, I people are paying attention to me. And right now what people want to hear is, I got complaints, I want to feel like like those complaints are being taken seriously. And I think if you solve for that,
we're close to sending something like that to the community, because to your point, that's the chance for people to show up and make a difference. Now, we've got to take one more break before we close the show.
Okay.
I want to say out in advance, because we're going to come back and talk a little bit about a totally different subject when we come back. Thank you for your joining me today.
Oh, no problem.
I like what you're doing with the Tucson Sentinel. Keep it up. And at some point, you're going to come back for this next segment, but I do want to bring you back at some point again.
Okay.
That's the voice of Blake Morlock with the Tucson Sentinel. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I appreciate you staying with us. And please tune in tomorrow at 9:00 for Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson. Blake Morlock's been my guest today. Tomorrow's 9/11.
Yeah.
It's so hard for me to believe 23 years have passed. It's a day that I truly believe our country was attacked. I've said for my generation, it's kind of our Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody who, you know, the hard part to believe is now we've got men and women entering the military voluntarily, and who weren't born after.
Yeah.
So Blake, we've got just 2 minutes left. I want to get your thoughts regarding 9/11 and,
I think 9/11 is such a touchstone. You could talk about touchstone moment, touchstone things, but since 9/11, it's been a really rough 23 years across a whole bunch of fronts, coming out of the 1990s, which were pretty darn good. Institutions kind of all took it on the chin. But I remember where we were on September 12th, and I think there was a real missed opportunity, because we showed up to our leaders and said, what do you need us to do?
Absolutely. And we forget what it was like on November 12th.
Yeah, and that gets me to my other kind of more heterodox, you wouldn't think I necessarily think this way, but, and we were basically told, go on about your business, go back and shop. I understand the strategic reasons for that and not wanting the terrorists to feel like they won. But it was a real day that we felt like we were gashed. But what I want to just hit is that 23 years later, I think my big takeaway is, I think we're going to pay for leaving Afghanistan when we did.
And you know, Blake, one of the things I was going to mention is, we've forgotten what it was like back then when the country actually came together. We've actually potentially gotten more divided, and and it's even worse. And the situation in the Middle East, and I've spent a lot of time over there, my time in the military, it hasn't changed a ton. So, Blake, thanks again. Please, everybody, remember those who died on 9/11 tomorrow, sometime through the day. If you're doing the 9/11 challenge, best of luck. You've been listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. See you next week.